12 o'clock hour, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. D-Mace coming in clutch with some Gatorade. We say hello to ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, who's with us. Timmy, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys?
You know, we're a little warm. We're out here at Titans training camp.
Practice, it could be worse.
Could be worse. Practice wrapped up about 45 minutes ago, but Todd Downing, Titans offensive coordinator, spoke earlier today, and of course he was asked a lot of questions about Malik Willis and his progression as he's in his first training camp. You know, from your quarterback eyes, how long in your mind do you think it's going to take him to really get rid of some old bad habits that he may have had in college, kind of learn how an NFL offense works, and specifically how the Titans offense works? What's kind of the timetable in your mind, or is it different for every QB?
Yeah, so, you know, basing this off of what I saw from him in college, I mean, I think that he's more than a year away in terms of being really ready to play. So, like, that would be my, you know, initial reaction to, you know, how I would approach it in terms of, you know, having a package for him and all that. He's a special runner. There's no question about that. But I think there's other aspects of, you know, how you want to bring him along and, you know, how, you know, much time you want to dedicate for your entire football team in terms of doing things that, you know, the starter isn't doing. So, look, I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's because it's the very beginning of the season. Maybe it's because we haven't had any preseason games where people, you know, maybe cool off on it. But, you know, I do feel like it is probably a little overkill, you know, whether it's Mike Vrabel or Downing or John Robinson or any of these guys to be answering so many questions about a third-round draft pick at quarterback.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about this earlier, Tim, that to me he's in a no-lose situation because there's absolutely no pressure on him right now. Ryan Tannehill's the guy. Logan Woodside's the backup. He can sit there as the third QB and just learn and develop, which is, you know, not a luxury that a lot of quarterbacks coming in have. I mean, you draft somebody in the first, maybe the second round. I mean, we saw Russell Wilson in the third, and he took the job. But I think if you're saying he's more than a year away, that's not a bad thing. He's just going to have nothing but time to be able to develop.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think in you know, a lot of ways, you know, it's a really good thing, especially if a guy's not totally ready. I think the deal with Russell Wilson was probably a little bit different. You know, I think there were a lot of questions of like, hey, why did the NC State thing go down the way that it did? A lot of it had to do with his desire to play baseball. Tom O'Brien, the coach at the time, you know, was not okay with that. He ends up at Wisconsin. You know, at that stage, you know, people were concerned about quarterbacks that weren't over 6 feet tall. And so, you know, I think while there are examples of guys that, you know, weren't first or second round draft picks and come in and play right away, it's really rare. It's really, really rare. And I think, look, the reason why, you know, when you look at, you know, kind of how things have gone for, you know, or how things went for him in the draft, you know, just because I think people felt like there was room to grow as a passer.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN's NFL analyst. Now, Tim, we played a clip of Charlie Weiss yesterday talking about the Titans, and because obviously with Matt Ryan now being in Indianapolis, people are going back and forth on who may win this division. And, you know, Charlie basically said, hey, listen, until Tennessee gets knocked off the hill, they are my pick to win the AFC South. Do you think people are picking Indy because they trust Matt Ryan a little bit more than they trust Ryan Tannehill?
I think that could be part of it for some people, but I think the other aspect of it is that, you know, when you look at how that team is built, I think there's a lot to like about them. And, you know, not that it's completely different, you know, in terms of going through the roster of the Tennessee Titans, there's a lot of players to like there as well. But I think many people believe that the best line, the best offensive line in pro football, is the Indianapolis Colts. I think that people believe that the best runner in football is Jonathan Taylor. Now, look, you maybe feel, you know, really good about Derrick Henry, or you know, maybe feel good about, you know, the run blocking ability of the Titans offensive line. But I think that, you know, on a national perspective, I think that most people would give the edge to the Colts in both of those areas. And I think when you look at receiver, I think there's no question that the advantage would go to the Colts, again, on from a national perspective. And then same deal at quarterback from a national perspective. And so, you know, to say that that is right across the board, you know, I can't say that I would necessarily agree with that. But at the same time, look, if you're asking me today who I think wins the division, I'm going to tell you I think it's actually the Colts.
Well, you're just like many others. And I think I had this one coming down to possibly the last week of the season on who can win this division, because just like you pointed out, I mean, they are a good team all around. And with adding Matt Ryan, I think it brings a little bit more trust with that team, with him at quarterback. Now, can the Jaguars, and I know the Texans are still in here, but I think they're still a little bit away from truly competing in the AFC South. But can Jacksonville, with Doug Peterson being there, be that team? I'm not saying they're going to win a division, the South or anything, but can they
be better,
the team that sort of is the flying ointment when it comes to Indy and the Titans?
Yeah, like they to me are a team that's kind of, I mean, just, you know, talk about like, okay, what type of threat are they? Are they a legitimate threat to win their division? They won three games last year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the it's no different than you know, say you're talking about the AFC East, and you're like, all right, the Jets. It's like, look, they won four games last year. Like, are they going to win their division with Buffalo, New England, and Miami's getting better and all that stuff? No, they're not. But, like, have they improved enough maybe talent-wise, that type of stuff? You know, coaching, you name it, that all of a sudden, you know, year two quarterback making that jump, that you know, they're a headache for teams in the division. Look, I think Jacksonville 100% can be that. I really do. I don't think there's any question about what a disaster, you know, Jacksonville was a year ago with how they were, just their entire operation, and then a rookie quarterback that, you know, really played poorly at times. I would expect Trevor to be significantly better. I would expect the operation to be better. I do think the talent is better. And so with that, look, maybe they're just a six-win team, but I think they're a tougher out for everyone in the division.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, talking NFL.
Sorry, Tim. I wanted to ask you, we're still trying to sift through. We've actually been on the air when the Dolphins ruling came down about the tampering. What do you make of that? It does look like Tom Brady is going to be not really implicated in any of this stuff, but pretty significant penalties for the Dolphins there.
I mean, the penalty is significant. You know, I just would have to kind of look back to see where it stacks up in terms of other, you know, fines and, you know, removal of draft picks that we've seen in the past. But you know, you talk about a first and a third round draft pick and a lot of money. And so I think that, you know, it's I mean, just also think about how quickly this went down in comparison to, you know, the decision on Deshaun Watson. You know, I think that it seems to me that the league was probably pretty eager to see this thing go away. The problem, I would say, is that, and I haven't gone through it, you know, too closely yet, but, you know, essentially what they're saying is, like, it's tampering, not tanking, you know, which I think there's some stuff in there in terms of the report that Stephen Ross was joking, allegedly, when he told Brian Flores he'd pay him $100,000, you know, per loss. So there's part of me that thinks that, like, this report, like, this isn't going away because this just came out.
Okay, on the Watson, now that we've all had a day to process this, I hear, I don't want to put a direct number on it, but I would say at least 80% of the people that have really delved into this and have been following this think the punishment is light. And there are reasons for that. I get it. But is that how you see it, that it does seem a little light and there will be at least some sort of pressure on Roger Goodell to say it's not enough?
Yeah, I think I said to you guys months back, anything short of a year, I think people are going to be like, what is going on here? How does he not get a full year? I've thought that from the very beginning with just the number of allegations. And then when you read the report about, from Judge Robinson about, things that she believes did take place, it's pretty bad. And so, I think that the NFL, probably wants this to go away. So an appeal, won't help that happen because it'll drag it out and create more of a fight between the NFLPA and the NFL. And so there is a big part of me that thinks that the NFL is going to, my guess is that they don't love the ruling. My guess is that they're going to take a ton of heat for the ruling. But I also think they're going to want to move on. And so I don't think that we'll see an appeal from the league. That's my guess at this point.
Do not envy Roger Goodell at all for the position that he is in with this. Tim, great stuff as always. We'll do it again next week.
All right, see you, fellas.
Yep.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us, hitting a lot of different things. And you know what's crazy? There's a game Thursday night, the Hall of Fame game. It's back. Football is back. I'll watch a quarter and then probably turn it off. But at least it is back. Coming up next, we'll discuss some of the things that Tim said, including the Deshaun Watson situation. We will get back into that. Ask D-Mace coming up at 12:30 here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Look, like many of you, I don't have kids, but I have nieces and nephews. These guys have kids, and they're all starting school in the next few weeks. Some have already started school. They've been shopping with their parents to make sure that they've got what they need and are ready to connect with their classmates. But there are way too many children in Middle Tennessee who won't get that same opportunity. They're living in homelessness, and they don't have the resources to spend on shoes and clothing. Well, we are here to change that, and we need your help. We've partnered with Souls for Souls to raise enough money to buy a pair of new shoes for the thousands of children in Middle Tennessee who need our help. $20 is all it takes. Please help us do the right thing. Text DONATE to 615-737-1025. It only takes a few minutes to change a life. Just text DONATE to 615-737-1025 and help us out. And thank you very much.